You can turn to Revelation 13. Last week we saw the Antichrist was coming, and this week we have another one called the False Prophet. And to show you that they're two different entities, if you look at chapter 19, he says, and the beast was taken, chapter 19 and verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire with brimstone, and the remnant were slain by a sword. And then when you come to chapter 20, that the Antichrist, or the devil and or Satan, is going to be bound for 1,000 years. And so when you get to chapter 20 and verse 2, that's where we get the word millennium, because in the Latin, mele means 1,000, and annus, millennia, means years. So it's 1,000 years, and that's where they get that. When you come to chapter 13, we'll find that this man and is the first time that he's mentioned in chapter 13 and beginning in verse 11. Sometimes, it always, I think one of the things that bothers me about liberalism and the progressive movement that we have today is that everybody wants to go by science until they don't want to go by science. And I was just reminded of that as I was listening to a lady with two PhDs that couldn't define what a woman was, and then she was asked, well, can a man deliver a baby? And she said, well, yes, and it's like, I've never seen such ignorance, because scientifically it's an impossibility. And I have a 7-year-old granddaughter that if you ask her who has a baby and who doesn't, well, a woman has a baby and a man doesn't. Now, I don't know how in the world a 7-year-old knows more than this person. But to show how much is orchestrated and organized within our society and how much we give, I was reading just this week or at the end of last week, that a man from the University of Chicago was going to write his doctoral thesis on when does human life begin. It took him 10 years. It took him nearly that long to get it approved, and then it took him another 10 years of research that he did on the project. The first question was this: Who is qualified to determine when life begins? And 97% of the people that were there, which he viewed, literally thousands that were across not the theological line, but the educational line. And out of those, 90-some percent said a biological scientist was the most qualified to determine when life begins in a human being. So this fellow thought it would be a good idea, so he did a research worldwide. The people that he reviewed were biology sciences or biological scientists. And he interviewed 5,003. And out of those 5,003, what percentage do you think said that life began at conception? What percentage would you say that these biological scientists said that life began at conception? 98%. 98% of biological scientists say life begins at conception. These were not theologians. So what always gets me is that you want to go by science until you don't want to go by science. It's like this: if you have two X chromosomes, you're a female, and if you have an XY, you're a male. I don't care what you feel like, because otherwise you have a psychological or a mental problem. People realize that you had a psychological or mental problem because there's been people throughout history that were in mental institutions that thought that they were George Washington, some of them thought that they were Napoleon. Different people, were they George Washington and Napoleon? No, obviously they're not, but it was a mental problem. One of the things that bothers me, too, is that once you do away with science, then you have a real problem within the world, because what we have right now, it's called theories. And so one of the things that you have is whenever you have a theory, realize that it is somebody's guess. It's not scientific. And so it's now we've seen in the last really 3 to 5 years what Goebbels was the minister under Adolf Hitler that indoctrinated the masses. He says if you tell a lie long enough, people will believe it. Did you realize how fast LGBTQ spread within the United States? How fast woke, let's tear down statues, spread within the United States? And how fast critical race theory spread within the United States? 10 to 15 years ago, the first time I ever heard of a transgender bathroom was I was all ticked off because Target was going to finally open up the bathrooms. And so that kind of fuzzed me up. I thought, well, fiddle with you. I can go to some other store that doesn't have transgender bathrooms. But I thought, well, it passed. And so when Trump came in, everything, all that did pass. But one of the things that we realized, you realize all the stuff that is not scientific that they call scientific? Do you realize when you have something like it's not global warming, it's climate change. You realize, see, if you talk to us older people, we used to call it weather. And it's right. It's because it's always changing. And if you don't like it today, hang in there. You'll have it next year. And I have had some summers in which we had so little rain from June on, I didn't even have to mow the grass. And you're wondering if any of it was going to make it. Then you've had other years in which it has been so rainy that you had to mow literally every other week in order to do it. But the crazy thing about science is that you realize that climate change, man-made climate change, is not scientific. But that's being purported. Now, how did it spread? You can watch just about any weather channel that you have, and they will say that climate change is a fact. Also, if you would like to really know how much the climate is going to change over in the next 100 years, 2 to 3 degrees. Oh, no. I'll tell you what, if you warm Pennsylvania up about 20 degrees, everybody'd want to live here. But we always look at it that way. How did that happen? It's because it's been promoted, it's been propagandized, and like Goebbels said, just continue to present a lie, and people will begin to believe that it's true and it's a fact. The biggest lie that we've had that started really in the 1920s because they had the Scopes, called it the Scopes Monkey Trial, and it's a theory of evolution. It's hard for us to believe that before 1927 that very little evolution was taught within our public school system. Now everybody teaches it. My problem is, see, I thought that they would back down, but I've noticed this is what happens to the left and the progressive. They don't back down, they multiply it. So in other words, even though they find something isn't true, like you'd have thought for sure that Trump had a Russia collusion because they've been talking about it for 3 or 4 years, then when they find out that it's not true, they just pass it on. No one ever backs up when it comes to evolution, even though DNA is totally against everything that's called evolution. DNA is a monkey's a monkey, a sheep's a sheep, a dog's a dog, a man's a man, and it never changes no matter what. So if there is no change with that DNA structure, they should be backing it up to say, I don't know what happened, but it wasn't evolution because one kind or one species does not cross and crossbreed. If they do crossbreed, like you crossbreed a horse and a donkey, it ends up a mule and a mule can't procreate anything. They're sterile. And so it's never a positive thing whenever you have crossbreeding or cross anything else. And so what you're going to say is that what does all this have to do with anything? When you get to chapter 13, there's a man called the false prophet, and he's going to be a propagandist. and everything, and he is going to be able to sell ice to an Eskimo in the middle of winter. I mean, he is going to be able to sell anything. You think, well, how's that happening? By the way, God said that the earth would not be destroyed by water, so just don't get all fuzzed up. But if your windows are down, you probably better go put them up. Nothing like a wet seat because you didn't listen. But you wonder how in the world it happens. We have seen a whole population that has been manipulated and mobilized by the media and the media propaganda, and the number of people that actually believe in critical race theory is millions. And how did it happen? And also LGBTQ and BLM, Black Lives Matter. Black lives do matter. Do you want me to tell you what God talks about race? Do you want me to tell you what he says about it? Nothing. He doesn't say anything about race. He talks about people. And human beings are the ones that divide people into various categories. But to God, he doesn't say, well, what color are you? He says to go into all the world, make disciples. He doesn't ask me what color they are. He doesn't ask me what nationality. God does not say anything about race. We have become what? We become galvanized to the point that everything is race. And it's totally a political move. You say, well, how did it happen? See, that's another thing that us older people, it's really great. One thing that I used to say old, now I just say older. Why? Because my wife said, you don't call people old people. You're an older person. Any older and you'd be dirt. But I know what it's like, and those who are a little bit older than me knows what it's like when America was really racist. We know what it was like for those of different colors. It was illegal for them to be married in various places. When we went down south, it got me because if you were a person of color, he said the colored people are not allowed where in the restaurants, and so before no one ever gets credit for how far we've come. They only get credit for how far we could go. Well, and the same thing happened to the automobile industry. They never get credit for anything. When I was growing up, back when I was a kid, they had Los Angeles, and it was called smog. And you'd be up on the hill, and they would show you that literally the city was covered and blanketed with smoke. From what? Internal combustion engines. Why? Because it produced lead fuel. And the gas was made out of lead fuel. It went from that to unleaded gas, and then they put on the catalytic converter, but nobody ever gets credit for that. Now let's do away with it. So what we're going to do I got an idea. Let's everybody here have an electric car, and it'll solve a problem. Do you realize that these people are so smart they don't have a plan B? Okay, let's say everybody in here tomorrow gets an electric car. Where are you going to plug it in? Oh, where are you going to get the electricity? Well, it comes out of the wall. Where does it come out of the wall? Nearly 80% of all electricity is made out of fossil fuel. So what are you going to do? What's plan B? Well, blah, 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 blah. There is no plan B. And so what you'll find is that when you come to this passage of Scripture, I'm reminded of how the world can be manipulated into a thought pattern once they have no authority. Do away with authority, and everything falls apart. And what's happened within the United States, morally, we are totally bankrupt and corrupt. People have no direction as far as what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, what to do or what not to do. What'd you do? Do away with authority. The other side of it is that people want to do away with the Bible. As you do away with the Bible and authority, you eventually have no compass, guide, no roadmap. You have nowhere to go. And the average teenager today is so confused and so confounded that suicide is over the top. Within our young people. Why? They don't know what to do. They don't know where they're going. And also, this LGBTQ thing, it's a lie from the pit of hell, for one. But Satan is a liar. And the crazy thing is there's nothing gay about it. I remember I led a person that had been within the homosexual community for 20 years, started at 19. And he says, don't let anyone ever tell you that there's anything gay about being homosexual. He said, there is nothing more degrading nor disturbing than to wait for a contact within the mall, within a roadside park, or someplace else. And he says, don't tell me that people that are homosexual want to be married. He says, why do you think they choose the lifestyle they choose? They will not have one partner for a lifetime. And of those, I thought, yeah, sure. I followed some that have seen this. They go from one partner to another partner, and they're not happy. The other side of it is this. One of the things that does bother me is that there are people out there that have been abused. There are people out there that have been taken advantage of. They never tell anybody. And I would say a good percentage of those that are within the community at some time or another have been abused in some way or another. That 75% that may fall in, you may have 25% that haven't. They'll never tell anybody. And they will continue to deal with what happened when they were 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age, and they'll never get help. Why? Because it's normal. It's not normal. It's not normal. And there is a problem. Do I empathize? Yes, I do. Is it real? Yes, it's real. But once you do away with authority, and I told my wife this when it happened. I said, next thing you know, somebody's going to be marrying their dog or their sheep or their pig. She said, what? I said, it's crazy. I said, where does it stop? I said, you'll have man-boy relationships. We call it pedophilia today. One day they'll say that that's normal because that's the way that person was raised and that's his preference. And guess what? Children are then becoming objects. How do they do that? You'll find out there once again. When we get to Revelation chapter 13, you find a guy that is so good at this that the whole world wants to follow him. So in other words, the church has been removed. And by the way, you think that we're a problem to those that are in the progressive movement or to those who do not have an authority? Our problem is we have the Bible as our standard. Once you have an authority, you become a threat to people that are trying to push an agenda. Why? Because does it measure up with the authority? No. LGBTQ, does it measure up with what God says? No. He says he calls it indecent. Just do away with authority, and you can commit any sin that you want, and there's no consequences. If you have an authority and commit a sin, well, what's sin? Whatever that authority says is sin. Do you realize in America today there is no such thing as sin? People can lie with impunity. There's nobody that says, hey, wait a minute, you're lying through your teeth, unless it's a conservative talking to a liberal or a liberal talking to a conservative. But do they themselves know? Huh? You realize that Satan is the father of lies. And Satan has blinded the eyes, lest they should believe and be saved. Take the church out of America. Boom. Now what do we have? No direction, no compass, no guide, no, and here comes a man known as the Antichrist. Peace, peace. Only thing you have to do that would follow the Antichrist would be a peace movement. A peace movement that is so big that it unites people, not divides people. A unity that it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter what, peace. And this Antichrist is going to come riding in on peace. How's he going to sell it? There's a man known as a false prophet. The false prophet's going to be his propagandist. And he is going to take over the airwaves. He's going to take over the internet. He's going to take over all the means of communication. And he's going to begin to sell his product. When you come to this passage of scripture, you'll find somebody that, and by the way, the only thing that you have to hang on to is authority. You see, what is your standard? That's what we start out with. When there is no standard, here's what you find in verse 11 through 18. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns. But notice this, he was like a lamb. And he spoke like a dragon. In other words, he was like the Son of God, but he spoke like a lamb. He was like a lamb. He spoke like a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and he caused the earth and them who dwell upon it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound is now healed. So what's his primary purpose? This fellow was dead, and he's now alive. He's dead and now alive, and you better listen to this one. And he begins to promote this person. And he does great wonders, and he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of all men. I mean, this guy is an illusionist, and he deceives them that dwell on the earth. Notice it's a deception. By the means of these miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell upon the earth that they should make an image to the beast of the wound by the sword, and he's now alive. Oh, you remember back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that this man of lawlessness is going to come, and he's going to set up his image in the temple to be worshipped as God. Uh-oh. Who's going to do it? The people. The people want this image. So he makes a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. In the first 3.5 years, he makes a peace treaty, signs a peace treaty. Things are relatively. Then in the middle, he sets up his image. Where do you get the image? These people here, because his deadly wound, he must either have been assassinated and came back to life, or he was one who was dead and now alive, or it just appeared that he was dead and now alive. We don't know what it is, because he deceived. He deceives these people. And so what does he do? Oh, let's set up his image. We want to take down images today. Well, let's set this one up. Why do you want to set this one up? Because he was dead, but he's now alive. You get that? He is Satan's duplicate of Jesus Christ. And everybody's saying, ooh, yeah, let's do that. So where are you going to put this image? Where are we going to put it? And so, let's put it in the temple and let him be worshipped as God. And he says, yeah, that's it. We'll do that. We'll set up my image in the temple. He says, that's the abomination of desolation as spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And he says, when you see these things, he says, don't come down from the, he says, run to the hills. He says, because then's going to be great tribulation such as the world has never seen. And so then he says, and in verse 15, and he hath power to give life to the image of the beast. Notice this. This guy is a computer whiz. You talk about visualized things. He gives life to the beast, to the image of the beast. And the image of the beast could speak and cause that as many as would not worship the beast, that they should be killed. How in the world are you going to know who is worshiping the beast and who isn't? Sort of like Daniel, remember? If he didn't let you bow down, you're going to get killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and enslaved, to receive a mark in their right hand and on their forehead. Whoa, there's something implanted within either the hand or on the forehead, so that in some way this image could tell who's his and who's not, who has received it and who didn't. You say, well, that's impossible. They can find kids today that are lost by having something implanted in their skin. You mean there's technology today that could do this? Yeah, when this was written, there wasn't. But let me tell you, there is technology today that can do exactly this, and it can make the image not only speak. Do you realize that right now, I don't know why they do this, but I was looking at fishing reels. I don't know how this happened, but next thing you know, I'm getting advertisement after advertisement after advertisement after advertisement on fishing reels. I was looking at Huffman's Auto over there just to see what the price of cars was. Next thing you know, car, 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 and I'm thinking, what's going on? And my daughter, she was just talking to my mom about something in her house. Next thing you know, she started getting advertisements on her phone about what they were talking about. You say, well, how's that? Let me tell you, they can speak, and they can see, and they can hear. You say, well, how's that? It's amazing what technology could do. But he takes this, and notice this, and that no man, here's the other side, no man could buy or sell except he have the mark and the name of the beast or the number of the beast. So in other words, you either have a mark, a name, or a number. One of the three. It isn't just a number 666, because that's the number of man. But you may have a mark, you may have a name. So it's either mark, a name, or a number. And if you don't have the mark, name, or number, guess what? You can't buy or sell. That is going to really encourage a lot of people to get the mark. You'll get your flu vaccination if you can't go to work. What? Did you ever stop to realize that sometimes we just have sort of a trial runs? You realize that we have a government to see how far they can push? You say, oh. Do you really think that if the Wuhan virus really did start in China, that that's the end of it? Do you realize that probably that's just step number one, and they want to really turn the big one loose on us? Oh, they wouldn't do that. Yeah. Now, just what happens if you have a smart bomb that you can blow something up in the air over in space and all of a sudden just stop the signals of satellites? Now, here's the other side. If you want to get buy or sell, you're either going to have the mark, you're going to have the number, or you're going to have the name, one or the other, mark, name, or number. And so, boom, yeah, you got it. Boom, you got it. Now you can't buy or sell. How many people who have no moral convictions at all are going to say, okay, stick the thing right here. It's okay. Put it in my hand. Put it on my head. Do whatever you want. Oh, does it affect my looks any? Oh, no, you won't even notice it. We'll stick it right above your eyebrow. It'll look cool. Oh, yeah. Besides that, look at all these other people have it. You're the only one that does it. Okay, let's do it. But what do you buy or sell? Do you realize what buying or selling something would mean? Most people sell their soul out to the devil to buy or sell. So now you have this guy that, and what does he do? He with this image, it could be a giant computer of some kind. Who knows? But it is so amazing because, and here's the wisdom. Let him that has an understanding and count the number of the beast, the number which is the number of man, and his number is 666. Either it's a literal number 666 or it's the number of man, or the number may be six. I mean, who knows what it is? Number, name, or mark. You have a strange thing in the world in which we live. When this thing was written, this would have been totally impossible. If they would have said that there had been an image sitting up someplace that could actually speak, toss out information, and say, know everything about Gary. You say, oh no. He must have been talking to my wife. You don't even know everything about him. You just think you do. It's like, that's right. It's some things it's better not to know. But it's true. That's why I was talking to Derek tonight and asking. He said, how am I? And I'm always blessed. He said, I'm super blessed. I said, well, nobody can stand to live with that. And I said, well, I better talk to Anastasia to find out that way. But can you imagine an image that knows everything about you? Do you realize that right now the United States government already knows everything about you? If you have a cell phone, they probably know everything about you. See, I don't have a cell phone because I live in Abnormalville. In Abnormalville, we don't even get reception. And so I'm not about to pay $600 to $800 for something that I get no reception. You say, well, you don't even have a cell phone? Did you ever try to have a cell phone and have no reception? It doesn't work. But but I think that so many times when you look at this passage of scripture, we'll get into it within the outline eventually. But what gets me is that everything on there is totally possible today with the technology that's available. You couple that with 200 million soldiers that are going to come from the east and they're going to be stopped at the Tigris and Euphrates River. Who in the world, do you realize at the time of Jesus, there's probably only about 200 million people in the whole world? And now you're saying you're going to have 200 million soldiers? Who in the world can ever get 200 million? Boy, that was fantasy. Do you realize there's nearly 1.4 billion people in China? And they could have a 200 million soldier army like that and still have 1.1 billion people left? Oh. Just think what the United States would do if something like that happened. By the way, one of your biggest dangers is going to be not only United Middle East with a 10-nation kingdom, but also because we're going to find out that there's something going on in Babylon, which is one time Persia, which is today called Iraq, and God has something in mind for that. But when I look at this, China, is a bigger threat than just about anything, just simply because of its size. But now here you have a man that's going to come on the scene, and he's going to be the CEO of the delusion and the illusion government. But notice what happens when there's no authority. Notice his deceptive appearance. He is similar to the first that was another. It was like Jesus. He said, "I send you another comforter, parakaleo." It was a Greek word. Para means alongside, kaleo means to call. So the comforter is the one that's called alongside to help in time of need. But like the first, he's out of the earth. He may be a Jew out of Palestine. We don't really know. But the earth is a biblical symbol of a Hebrew nation. And this one may be, he may even be from an, in quotes, Christian background. We don't know. But at least he is from a, perhaps even a religious background. And that we don't know. And he looks like a lamb, but he speaks like the devil. "For there shall arise false Christ," Matthew 24:24, "and false prophets, and they shall grow and shall show great signs and wonder, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect." He looks good on the outside, maybe the National Council, the World Council of Churches. On the inside, he's corrupt and satanic. A lamb is gentle and harmless, is innocent and scripturally clean. The dragon, no one is frightened of him, but when he speaks with the voice of Satan is heard. So in other words, he doesn't grow. The one behind it, the image, or the one behind this person, is satanic. Having no standard, no authority, there's no way to tell a wolf in sheep's clothing or right from wrong. And here's what we do today. How does that feel to you? How does that make you feel? And we in the evangelical church is moving so rapidly towards a feel-good experience that it makes me feel so good. So we need to have lights and smoke and atmosphere. It makes you feel. The problem is this, is that, and I heard this from Glenn Beck, that the churches, first of all, of the denominations within America, the Southern Baptist was the most, had the largest biblical worldview with 48%. The average denominations on down, the World Council, National Council, they had less than a 20% biblical worldview. So then churches that were 600 and larger, only 16% of them had a biblical worldview. So that meant not only faith in Jesus Christ, that meant the Bible's the Word of God, that meant that Jesus Christ is coming back, that meant, and so a lot of the stuff that we are hearing today that makes you feel good may not even be biblical. And so someone says, "Well, why do you go through Isaiah and John and Revelation?" Because you can't get enough of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that's going to stand the test of time. The Bible says in Isaiah, He says, "My word shall not return void, but it'll accomplish the purpose to which I send it." And so you have to get back to the Word of God. And it's like this. What happens if someone disagrees or denies the Word of God? First of all, they may be ignorant. The other side of it is that they may not know, and that's possible. In other words, they haven't been taught. But it says in Romans, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Let God be true. What does God say about it? I may not, and here's what we've done within society. What does society think? What does society think? What does the Bible say? Whoa. You mean the Bible may go opposite of what I think, feel, or experience? Yeah. Yeah. Because every sin that you're committing, you can convince yourself that it's right. Every sin. You can lie with impunity. And you'll have a reason why. You can be gay or homosexual, and you'll start in believing somebody, twisting the Bible. I had a person the other day that even took the groanings that cannot even be uttered in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and they said, get into your closet and start groaning, because then you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, where'd you come up with that? It says groanings that cannot be uttered. It doesn't say groanings that can be uttered. But let me tell you, any wrong doctrine or wrong theology or anything else will start out usually with the Word of God. But the problem is it leads people astray. So notice his deceptive appearance. But notice his dynamic appeal in verse 12. And he exercised the power over all, over the first, all of the power of the first beast before him. And he causes the earth and them that dwell on it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound is healed. The false prophet will become the chief, the CEO of the new world order under the beast. The authority is derived from the beast. The purpose is to channel worship to Satan through the beast, sensationalizing the deadly wound that is healed. He will manipulate, he will bend, he will twist truth, he will present lies as truth, and he will control public opinion. You say, oh, it couldn't be. Hey, let me tell you, I've seen it over the last 5 years, and you would be surprised how many. When I listen to a woman with two PhDs that doesn't know what a woman is, and she's in the health arena, I'm thinking, God, well, she's convinced. The person said, "Well, what if you have a cat, two cats? One's what? And one can. Well, what about dogs? Male or female? Which one of them has?" Well, the male and the female has the kittens or the pups. Well, what about humans? Oh, well, they have feelings. And they can feel something else. And the person said, well, if I said that dog over there just had a litter of that male dog over there had a litter of pups, what would you think? She said, we're not talking about dogs and cats. We're talking about people. And people have feelings. So, but you think that doesn't even seem... But his deadly approach in verse... Like I said, I'm not going to look at 2 Thessalonians. We did that. I'll encourage you to do it when you go home. But you see, people want to see it. They want to sense it. They want to feel it. And he descended from the earth by means of miracles that he had performed to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast, the wound by the sword. He's dead and he's alive, and he's alive, and he did live. And notice this: it says he was wounded with a sword, and he did live. And he hath power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak. So notice what he said. People want to see it, and let me tell you, they will. Look at what he does. This man must be God. This is no sleight of hand. This is a satanic miracle. He will delight to set the sky ablaze with fire. He dupes the people with miraculous signs, much like he did in Egypt. Just because you see an in quotes miracle is no sign it's from God. We today, it's a miracle. It doesn't mean it's from God. This man here is going to do signs, wonders, and miracles. And none of them are from God. They're all from another source. So it's like this. It's a very dangerous thing to follow signs, wonders, and miracle, even if it's in the, quote, the name of Jesus. Because let me tell you, it's like, how many people do I know that are going to this meeting and that meeting and this meeting and that meeting, and they're seeing this and they're seeing that, and they're saying, oh, it's wonderful. If anybody has the gift of healing, tell them, come with me. I'll go up to Children's Hospital, and I'll take them to the cancer ward, and let's get busy. Oh, we don't want to do that. I've never met anyone who has the gift of healing. I have seen a lot of people healed by faith. But I think there once again too. Why is it that the people that can heal so many people always want an arena and a bunch of people around them? Why? Why don't we go to the people that are really there? Why don't we clear out every children's hospital in America? Because let me tell you, I like little kids, especially if they're somebody else's. I had four of them. I said, oh, wow. You must love kids. No, I love my kids. All you other rugrats, you can follow your mom and dad. But we love kids. If you have the gift of healing, come on. Don't charge them a dime. Just go through there and do it. I've asked some guy that was a healer one time that, and it was like, pfft. Let me tell you why. Because he really didn't have the gift of healing. You see, we can do an awful lot of finagling people's emotions, people's feelings. And if you start having signs, wonders, and miracles, let me tell you, you want to fill Pennsville up? Let me have a 2-week signs, wonders, and miracles conference. You want to clear everything out? Let's have a Bible study for the next 2 weeks. No, just let the word get out. Pastor Murray's up there, and he said, let me tell you, we're healing. Everybody comes forward. But just because you have signs, wonders, and miracles, there's no sign you're of God. We within the church think that as long as we see a miracle, it must be of God. Not always. Not always. Can God do miracles? Yes. Yes. When he sovereignly wants to do a miracle, he will do a miracle. And just because I've heard people say, well, if you just had enough faith. I can't see anybody having any more faith in a Brenda Giesman that asked the deacons, asked to be anointed with oil, and 3 months later she was dead. Well, she didn't have enough faith. We all had enough faith. And what? God will heal you every time but the last time. Every time but the last time. And if it's my time to go, let me tell you, you can pray your little heart out over me, and I'm going to go. You say, well, that just doesn't. No. It's appointed unto a man once to die. I just don't know when that appointment's going to be. I've seen some people go out of this world when they are merely weeks old. I've seen other people go out at 104. Why? I don't know. I'm not God. But it's like with me. I don't know what's wrapped up within me. But I know one thing. I am invincible. Until my time is up. And when my time is up, you can have the whole church praying their little heart out, and I'm going to go and be with Jesus if my time is up. And so my father, he was on life support, and he was, like I said, if you're a Murray, you definitely don't want to be on life support with this group, because we felt this way, that my father had a mastitis lung. They went in there, they cleaned the thing out on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. My sister calls up and said, pull the plug. 85 to 90% total life support. By the end of the day, he was sitting on the edge of his bed. And he lived another 10 years. Why? Because it wasn't his time to go. And it wasn't an enormous amount of faith that we had, because we said, pull the plug on the guy. It's like, oh, my goodness. But do you pray? I pray. Have I seen? I have seen literally tumors go. Caden Prouty, that they said there's a 99% chance that kid has a tumor that's malignant. And I said, well, there's 1% that's not. Let's go for the 1%. And it's gone. It's gone. So it's like this. Can God do it? Yes. Should we pray for it? Yes. Because it's like David says, why did you pray for it when Nathan said that he's going to die? Who knows what God will do? Who knows what God will do? I never know what God will do. It's like I said, there was Vicki Cressup. She came into my office, and she had a mass, and she wanted to have another child, but she was only 28 years of age, and she had a malignant mass that was the size of a softball that was in the ovary section. They was going to take the whole thing out. And so she was in there. I just felt like God wanted me to pray that God would heal her. So I did. And this was on like, she'd been tested on Friday, came in on Monday or Tuesday. They were going to have surgery on Thursday. Opened her up, nothing there. There was no tumor. There was nothing. And she did have one more child. And I'm thinking, I don't know how to answer it. Can God do miracles? Yes. Why does he do it? I don't know. But what prayer does God answer? He answers the prayer that will advance his kingdom the furthest and bring the most glory to him. And every once in a while, he does this unusual thing like a Vicky Cressup. Every once in a while, he does something like Caden Prouty, that 99% has gone to be malignant. He says, no, we're going to heal that one. It's the sovereignty of God. But can Satan have his phonies? Yes. Fact is, this guy is going to be a real phony, and people are going to buy it. And as according to 2 Thessalonians, he's going to set up his image in the temple to be worshipped as God. But notice this, they were deceived, number two, under C in the first point. This may look like it was from God. He is just as impressive as God's two witnesses in chapter 11, verse 5. So men through the ages have been awed by the supernatural. This will look like it is from God, but with no authority. Satan can give you any feeling, experience, or emotion that you want, but he cannot duplicate the word of God. And much of what I see in the church today is paving the way for this type of belief. Because I was listening to Chuck Swindoll just a week ago. He says, he's 87. Made me feel good because that's 11 years beyond me. And I'm thinking, that's not bad. But he's 87. And he was talking about the person who may follow him. And he says, the expository preacher, he says, I'm not saying they're not out there, but it's the exception. And what has happened is that our churches have turned into five-week series, six-week series, four-week series, and we go from series to series, but it doesn't hold together. What does God's word say? And you got to get somebody, like I said, Isaiah, John, Revelation. First of all, I need the challenge, but so do you folks. You have to get back to the word of God, because if you don't have the word of God, Satan can give you any feeling, experience, or emotion you want. He can't duplicate the word of God. What does the word of God say? Is it sin? It's sin. It's sin. And so guess what? God does not bless sin, even no matter how you want to. He doesn't. But this fellow here is not going to have any authority. Why? Because the authority is pretty well put aside. We are seeing it within our churches today, that even in the evangelical church, it's very difficult to find somebody that gives an altar call. It's very difficult to find somebody that says, God, love you, Christ died for you, and you need to receive him right now as Savior and Lord by personal invitation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You know why you don't hear that? Because you're liable to offend people. And churches are into marketing. And you're liable to lose people if you start telling people the truth. This guy here, he's going to tell people everything they want to hear. Everything. And they're going to believe it. And guess what? The people are the ones that are going to say, wow, what does this guy say? Send your money and we'll make an image. And they say, oh, how much do you need? And we don't want your tithe, we want a bunch. But there are no absolutes. Notice verse 14b and verse 15. He says, they should make an image to the beast that's wounded by the sword, and he did live. Now, as to whether it was a deadly wound or a wound in which he was in some way wounded and now alive, I don't know. But he hath power to give life to the image of the beast. And the image of the beast could both speak and cause as many as worship and not worship the beast that they should be killed. With no absolutes, do away with authority, and you have no absolutes. People who run by their senses can fall for and worship anything. Do you know the number one denomination that is, or group of people that goes to the Mormon Church? Baptist. There are more people becoming Latter-day Saints from Baptist churches. Maybe it's because there's perhaps more Baptist churches and people within the Southern Baptist or Baptist churches than any other denominations. But the other side of it is that once you get away from the Word of God, anything can dupe you. Anything. And so I don't care. Like I said, I've got this strange thing about me. A lot of strange things. I asked my wife. And you think Derek's blessed. I am really blessed. And fact is, I am something else. That's what my wife keeps telling me. You are something else. I thought it was always a compliment. I didn't know. It's like, it depends on how you emphasize it. But so often, what we do is that we go by our feelings. If you want to feel like you're saved, you're going to doubt your salvation all the time. Every time you have a down day, you're going to wonder whether you're saved or not. This old lady told me she was probably 62. But anyway, she was old at the time. Be my feelings as they will, Jesus is my Savior still. I thought, why in the world? I thought, she said, just remember that. Be my feelings as they will, Jesus is my Savior still. She said, you're not always going to feel saved. But if you go by your feelings, and not the Word of God, Satan can dupe you in anything. And that's what I find here. With no authority, no absolutes, these people are prime targets. We within the United States are a prime target for any of this. Why? Because people go by their senses. During the last election, they were called snowflakes. They were just melting. Why? Because they're feeling it. We as a nation and as the world, what happens when you go, there's no law. Do you realize the problems that we have in America right now is because it's not because there's no law, but we're becoming a lawless society because we don't enforce the laws that are on the book. Well, it just doesn't feel right to turn people away at the border. What's the law say? If you don't have a passport, if you don't have it, then you don't come in. Do you realize I even have to have a passport to go to Haiti? Now, I don't know who in the world would ever want to have a passport and not go to Haiti, but they need a passport. And also, after a certain time, I've got to leave. This is Haiti. I'll toss out another one. This is one you can even write down in your little book. Before you tear down a fence, find out why they put it there to begin with. This guy here tears down all the fences. There is no law. You say, well, how could that be? Look, we have the Constitution. We have every state to have law. Do you realize of all the stuff that's on the books right now, what's being ignored? Do you realize that it's illegal to set somebody's business on fire? Unless you're the right color. I'm serious. Where'd you get that? It's against the law. Oh, let's just sort of crash and steal. You mean it's against the law to bust up something? Well, do you realize they're being praised? That they can steal in California now up to $1,000 and not be put in jail? Where'd you do that? Just do it with the law. Oh, and then the next thing to do is to take lawyers and take judges and let people back on the street with no bail. That's a great idea. Let's just fill the country. Why? Because everybody... It just doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem right to incarcerate people for 20 years. You might warp the little guy. But here's what you have. All of a sudden, you're going to have somebody that's going to come along. Once you do away with laws, then everything is opened up. Everything is wide open. Because notice their foundation, they're earth dwellers. They, in verse 14, it's their platform. They are earthbound. They're caught up with the here and now. They're caught up with situational ethics. In verse 14, because do you realize that situational ethics has been taught within our public school system now for probably 40 or 50 years? It just doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem right to send people back to Honduras. It doesn't seem right to send people back to El Salvador. It doesn't seem right. So I got an idea. Let's just open the borders. Then we won't feel bad. Oh, and what's the argument? The argument there once again is, how do we feel? We don't feel it's right. But it's like this. They are earth dwellers. Verse 14, they make little images of the beast to sit in their homes and remind them of how good and great he is. And you say, oh, people would never do that. Let me tell you, they've done that for years. But this man who slayed and brought back to life, they set up his image in the temple to be worshipped of God. When intellectuals, and this is why I put this in dark letters, when intellectuals decide that no real God exists, they replaced him with evolution. That's the problem with evolution, because it's totally against creation and creationism. Then regarding man as the apex of evolution, they decide that man is God. The beast is a man is man in perfection, the king who would bring universal peace, prosperity, and freedom from the fear of God. And so in Revelation verse 15, this is the abomination of desolation. He sets up his image in the temple to be worshipped as God. And finally, there is no audacity, and it had to go along with the other letters, but there's no conviction, there's no boldness. And what happens? There's a mark, an impression, a stamp on the right hand or on the forehead. In order to control the activity of all people, each person is required to receive a mark. It's a universal registration. Oh, that's crazy. You could never sell that in America. Nobody would ever do it just because the government tells them to. Or would they? Are we being set up as a nation for Marxism, communism, and ultimately the Antichrist? But notice this. Notice the mark. It's an impression, a stamp on the right hand of the forehead. The measure. Only way to buy or sell. Without this identifying impression, or no transaction, great or small, will be made. With one of three identifications, mark, name, or number. And there's worldwide control. There is coming an economic collapse. The financial and global crisis is coming, with the United States a debtor nation with a debt of over $30 trillion, and scores of developing nations are bankrupt and unable to even pay their interest. Someday the balloon will burst. We're in for a fundamental restructuring, and that's what they're calling it right now, that there is a restructuring of America, of the global monetary system, with the European common market emerging as the strongest currency block, probably backed by gold. That's, who said that? A fellow named, not E.F. Hutton, but A.F. Hudson, an international consultant. The mark is ready. Use a laser branding is already a reality. Technology to mark, to register, to keep tabs on people is already here. The means, 666 is one less than perfect. It's the number of man. Some feel that the Greek and the Hebrew, each letter has a numerical value equaling 666. I really don't know what it is. We don't know the number or the meaning, but the earth at that time will. It's also logical. It's also popular. Everybody's doing it. Let me tell you, when there is no standard, then what? There's no authority, there's no absolute, and there's no audacity to stand. Because these people that are standing and not receiving the mark have to have an absolute conviction that what they're doing is supporting the beast. You see, the Bible is our only standard that we have to stand. That's it. As I started out this whole evening, you would never imagine in the last 10 years that America would move so close, not only to globalism, but also being controlled by computers, being controlled by something that's, and how could anybody do this? We let them. That's what the people want. It's what the people want. Now, I've opened up a can of worms, and so do you have a question that's answerable? If there's not, I'll make up one. What's some of your thoughts? Think about it. You see, when you come to this passage, it is no conspiracy theory. These things are already in the works. They're already in the works. What do you have? You still have some people that don't accept the mark. You still have some people that stand. You still have some people that are willing to die for their faith. And I and my thing is that, do we have as an individual enough convictions to stand for the Word of God? You see, it's awfully hard whenever people, their wants of it, see, violate God's Word. You realize that you cannot sin and not have consequences. And so often we don't. We don't. There is a heaven, but there is a hell. There is a God, but there is a Satan. There is a war that is going on that's a spiritual battle. The women are over in Awaken. They're looking put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand and withstand. And part of that armor has to be the Word of God. Why is it, if the Word of God is the only thing that is absolute, why is it so hard to get Christians to spend time in the Word? I don't want a personal testimony, but you can talk about somebody else if you want. Why is it so hard? What's that? People say that you're too busy. See, I've got this really crazy thing. I learned from Edna Kessler. She was no theologian. Fact is, I don't even know if she was a believer, but she was an 84-year-old woman that lived next door to me in my very first church. She wanted to come one Sunday night, and I've told the story because I got there, and there's probably about 12 to 15 people at the most. In the morning, we'd have maybe 50 or 60. She's sitting there with her cane. She says, "Not very many people there tonight, were there?" I said, "No, Andy." I said, "Usually we don't have very many on Sunday night." She said, "You know why?" I said, "No, Edna, why?" She said, "They didn't want to come." They didn't want to come. Didn't want to come. Do you want me to tell you why people don't get in the Word? They don't want to. Do you want me to tell you why? She said, "People do what they want to do." She said, "If they want to play golf, they go play golf. If they want to go to the restaurant, they go to the restaurant. If they want to go on a vacation, they go on a vacation." She said, "If they want to come to church, they'd come to church. And the reason they didn't come to church is because they didn't want to." I said, "So Edna, is that the reason this is the first time I've seen you this year?" She said, "Yes. I didn't want to come." She said, "I just wanted to come and hear you preach." She never came back. But I learned something. People do what they want to do. People do what they want to do. It's called free will. The other side is that there's a consequence. No, we choose. And the other side of it is that if you make the right choices, and I've seen this through the years, I'm not the person that I was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, because the Word of God just keeps changing my life. God is like a diamond. Every time you turn it just a little bit in the light, you get a different reflection. And I see a different view of God, points about God every day. And it's like, that's really cool. That's really something. Whoa. And you can never plumb the depths of God. But that's the same way with a book. I usually read a book. I read it once. And at Christmas time, I think since Christmas, I've read 7 and I got one more to go. And I wanted to read it by the end of May, and it didn't happen. I got so tired of reading. But anyway, I read it one time. But the Bible, I just keep going. Oh, every time, even a passage like this, I begin to look at our situation, and it thrills me when I see this. Also, I'm going to preach on Sunday morning on Isaiah about Babylon. He talks about Babylon in chapter 17 and 18, and he also talks about Babylon in Isaiah chapter 13. You realize that Babylon was just a little spot in the road when Isaiah, and he was talking about a kingdom called Babylon and what was going to happen in Babylon and how it was going to rise and how it was going to fall, and Satan was going to be behind it. And he looks at the Babylon at the end of time, and you're thinking, that's really cool. Prophecy is one of those amazing things. See, I'm gonna close with this one because it's one of my favorites. And that is that if there were 60, and there's well over 300, but if there were 60 prophecies of one individual in the Bible, and within those that they were just 7 fulfillments in one individual, it's 1 to the 10th to the 17th power. that it's possible. And so if you have just 60, but then what happens, though, is that what's 1 to the 10th to the 17th power? Okay, let's take silver dollars and let's put an X on one of them. Let's toss it out in the state of Texas. Stick the state of Texas 2 feet high with silver dollars. Now pick up that one with the X on it. That's 1 to the 10th to the 17th power. But if there are 60 prophecies and 48 fulfillments, of which there is in Jesus Christ, it's 1 to the 10th to the 54th power, means it's a statistical impossibility for Jesus not to be God. And I'm thinking, that is. See, I'm one of these screwy guys. Well, how do you know? How do you know? Let me tell you, if it's 1 to the 10th to the 54th power, I'll take it. I'll believe that Jesus is God. Why? Because there are more than 48 fulfillments out of 60 in this person known as Jesus Christ in the Bible. And if we only knew, every act that we have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a fulfillment of Scripture. We just don't know enough. Because everything he did walked according to Scripture, Old Testament. And by doing so, he says, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. And let me tell you, if that is the case, if Jesus is indeed God, then Jesus can die on the cross for my sins, and Jesus is who he said he was. And guess what? He's coming back. Our Father, I thank you so very much that the Word of God not only can excite us, but the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God divides our thoughts, our intents, clear to the very heart of who we are. So I'd ask you, Lord Jesus, that this next week we'd spend more time in your Word, and may we say yes to whatever you're trying to tell us in Jesus' name. Amen. Do we have study next? What is next week? Oh, Vacation Bible School. No, we got Vacation Bible School. Something important.